हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे। जयो राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे। जयो श्री गौरंगा जयो श्री गौरंगा श्री गौरंगा जयो श्री गौरंगा। जयो जयो प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद।
जयो विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमती डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत श्रम श्लोक प्रभुपाद की। जयो विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमती डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद महाराज की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नाम आचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की ताई गौरा प्रेमनंदे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट 28 Chapter entitled The Residents of Jambudweep Offer Prayers. Text 28.
Bhavan Yugantarnava Urmi Malini. Shonim Imam Oshadi Virudham Nidim. Maya Sahoru Kramateja Ojasa. तस्मै जगत् प्राण गणात्मने नम इति। भवान् युगांतार्णव ऊर्मि मालिनी शोनिम् इमामोषधि वीरुढां निधिम्। मया सहोरु क्रमतेज ओजसा तस्मै जगत् प्राणगणात्मने नम इति। भवान् युगांतार्णव ऊर्मि मालिनी
शोनिम् इमामोषधि वीरुधाम्निदिम् मया सहोरु क्रमतेज ओजसा तस्मै जगत् प्राणगणात्मनि नम इति
Matajis.
Bhavan Yugantar Nava Urmi Malini. Shonim Imamoshadi Virudham Nidhim. Maya Sahuru Kramateja Ojasa. Tasmai jagat prana ganatmani nama iti.
What translation? Bhavan, your lordship, yuga anta arnave. In the water of devastation, at the end of the millennium, urmi malini, possessing rows of big waves, shonim, the planet Earth, Imam, this, Oshadi Virudham, of all kinds of herbs and drugs, Nidhim, the storehouse, Maya, me, Saha, with, Uru, great, Kramate, you roamed, Aja, O on unborn one, Ojasa, with great speed, Tasmai, unto him, Jagat, of the universe, Prana Gana Atmane, the ultimate source of life. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. O Almighty Lord, at the end of the millennium, this planet Earth, which is the source of all kinds of herbs, drugs and trees, was inundated by water and drowned beneath the devastating waves. At that time, you protected me along with the earth and roamed the sea with great speed. O unborn one, you are the actual maintainer of the entire universal creation, and therefore, you are the cause of all living entities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Envious persons cannot appreciate how wonderfully the Lord creates, maintains, and annihilates the universe. But devotees of the Lord can understand this perfectly well. Devotees can see how the Lord is acting behind the wonderful workings of material nature. In Bhagavad Gita 9.10, the Lord says, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. All the wonderful transformations of natures are happening under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Envious persons cannot see this, but a devotee, even though very humble and even if uneducated, knows that behind all activities of nature is the Supreme Hand
of the Supreme Being. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padhaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So we'd like to welcome all the devotees for today morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. So, today's verse is the last verse of the prayers by Swayambhu Manu to Matsya Avatara. So, for today's class, I thought of three sections. Before we begin, we will look at the background of the section that we are seeing. And then we can discuss something about the Urmi Malini, the heavy waves, tossing waves, how Matsyavatar and, you know, Vaivashta Manu, the boat being saved, as well as we being in this material world, second point. And the third point, we can discuss a little about Matsyavatar from various different angles. So first, let us look at a background. These are the prayers of the residents of Jambudweep, and each dweepa, there is a representative, a main personality who's praying to a main lord. So we are currently at the fifth Varsha. Okay. First we saw Ilavrata Varsha, where Lord Shiva is praying to Shankarshana. Then we saw Bhadrashva Varsha, where Bhadrashrava is praying to Haya Shirsha, Haya Griva. In Hari Varsha, Prahlad was praying to Narasimha. And in Ketumala Varsha, Lakshmi was praying to Kamadev, O Pradyumna. And in this Ramyaka Varsha, Vaivashta Manu is praying to Matsyadev. So the sequence of all these prayers are very similar. There will be an invocation mantra and then 2-3 verses of glorification, and then they move on to the next Varsha. So these recent verses on this Matsyavatar section, which began from day before yesterday, His Grace Harigopalpur spoke, that verse 26 spoke about how the Lord is the surreal controller, okay, where He's controlling all different kind of devatas. Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Krishna Prabhupada Ki Jai. Text 27, which was yesterday's verse, spoke about how the Lord is the real maintainer. And today's verse, the theme is how the Lord is the real protector. So in three verses, they glorify Matsyadev for being the real controller, the real maintainer, and the real protector. So like we heard 2 days ago from His Grace Hari Gopal Prabhu, how this pastime had happened in Chakshusha Manvantara, which is the 6th millennium, and this king Satyavrata, later he became the son of the sun god Vivaswan, which is this millennium, the 7th millennium, the 7th Manu, and he is now called, because he is the son of Vivaswan, his name is now called Vaivasvata Manu. So this is Satyavrata Raja only. In all incarnations, the Lord gives protection and knowledge to his devotees. So we see even in the Hayagriva incarnation, the Lord saved the Shastras, He killed the demons. Even in this Matsya Avatar, He would save the Shastras. Very nicely, Hari Gopalpu had mentioned about this pastime, especially quoting from the 8th canto, 24th chapter, which talks about Matsya Avatar. So, this is a little background to this verse, what we are looking at, why this Matsya Avatar prayers comes, and especially Him being the real protector. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport that, you know, people who are envious, people who are foolish, they will not see the Lord's hand behind everything. They will say that I am the controller, I am the maintainer, I am the protector. But ultimately, for devotees, even though Prabhupada says, even though a devotee is very humble, and even if he is not very educated, that means one may not openly prove that how the Lord is the controller, protector, maintainer, but in his heart of hearts he may understand. Still, the devotee understands that there's a supreme hand behind everything. So that is the background. Now we'll discuss two points which I thought significant in this verse. Actually, I was thinking I'll speak about Matsya Avatar pastime from 8th canto. But then 2 days ago, Hari Gopalpur spoke it. So then I had to change my class. So I thought we'll discuss something about two points from this verse. One is the Urmi Malini, which I found very significant, the devastating waves of the ocean. And later we'll discuss something about Matsya Avatar himself. So the material world is compared to an ocean. Just like here it's mentioned how, you know, Matsya Dev came and helped the devotee through the devastating oceans. So Urmi Malini, that means very great waves. Okay, Urmi generally means waves. Here Malini can mean rows, you know, this kind of things. Rows of big waves. So the material world is compared to this. And the Lord came and saved devotees and saved the planet Earth. So the Jiva in the material world is also compared to an ocean. It is called Samsara Sagara. And when I read this part about Urmi Malini, I remembered some verses from Mukunda Mala Stotra. Around three verses, text 11, text 12 and text 13, where Kulashekar describes in very graphic detail how the living entity is drowning in this material ocean and why. And at the same time, what is his salvation? So if you look at the Chakshusha Manvantara, when there was an inundation, there was a flood, we saw how Matsya Avatar had come and he had saved the devotees using a boat, right, which was tied to his horn. And he guided them, he saved them. So similarly, the jivas in this material world are also suffering in the ocean. But what is our boat? What is our boat? So Kulashekara gives what is the boat. So this is text 11, 12 and 13 of Mukunda Mala Stotra. Beautiful verses, very graphic detail about this waves of this material world. So I'll just recite them.
Bhavajaladigatanam dvandavata hatanam sutaduhitrikalatratrana baraditanam vishama vishayatoye majjatam aplavanam bhavati sharanam eko vishnupoto naranam.
He says bhavajaladigatanam, a person is suffering in this bhavajala, in this waters of the ocean of material world. And they are being hit left, right, center, up, down by the winds, dvanda, by the winds of duality. So why is the material world compared to an ocean? We see the ocean, there's waves. Sometimes we go up, sometimes we go down. Material world is like that. When we go up, we feel, oh, I'm saved. And then, psh, we come down. So amazingly, many people even like, ocean sports, sea sports. Right? There's surfing, there's boating. Precarious, it's a very precarious situation because huge ocean, huge mass of water and you're just a small ship, just a small boat. And many times huge waves come which are like walls and it's like actually a wall collapsing and crushing a person when one is in a boat. It's a very precarious situation, yet still in this precarious situation, some people find a little excitement in it, especially those who do surfing. They find some excitement in it. So the material world is so dangerous, in a sense material world is so much troubling, but still the Jivatma finds some excitement in it. So he's saying that we are being beaten, slapped, kicked, struck by the winds. Okay, in the ocean, a person is disturbed by winds. Anyone who has done sailing, my uncle is a Navy officer, so he would share. So in the ocean, right, the winds are very detrimental. The winds change the course of the ship. They hit you left, right, center. It's very dangerous. So similarly, in the material world, what are the winds? The winds are this dvanda, material dualities. Sometimes happy, sometimes sad, sometimes liking, sometimes disliking. They're like slaps on the face, right? Sometimes you see when a person gets slapped, he gets slapped left, right. Two sides, isn't it? So similarly, the dvanda in the material world. Right? They hit you left, right, center. But the Jivatma is still trying to conquer this ocean. Why? He wants to Suta Duhitir Kalatra Trana Bhararitanam. He wants to save his children, sons, Suta. He wants to save his Duhitir. He wants to save his daughters. He wants to save his Kalatra. He wants to save his wives. So in trying to save his family members, although he himself is drowning, it's a bhara, it's a burden, okay, that comes on him. Vishama vishaya toye, and this ocean is compared to an ocean of sense gratification. Majjatam means completely immersed, drowning. Aplavanam, he does not have anything to support him. He's without a vessel. Plava means boat. Aplava means no boat. So this is the situation of the jiva. He himself is struggling, being struck left, right, center with the waves of duality and with all pride, he's trying to save others while he himself is drowning. So then Kulashekar Maharaj says, I only see one boat which will come to your salvation. Bhavati sharanam eko Vishnu poto naranam. Vishnu potaha means the boat of Vishnu. Only that boat of Vishnu can save you from this material world. Right? So that is our, how you say, like Satyavrat or Vaivashta Manu had his boat. So our boat in the material world is Vishnu potaha. Then the next verse he continues to say. So someone might think, oh, but am I qualified for that boat? That Vishnu boat? What is the ticket price for that boat? How long will it take? Does that boat have lifeboats? Someone may think, oh, I understand, I'm in a precarious situation, boat is coming for me, but am I qualified for it? I don't think I'm qualified for it. So next verse, Kulashekar Maharaj again explains. He says, Bhavajaladi magadham dustaram nistareyam. Don't think that without the boat you can survive. Bhavajaladim agadham, agad, it is phantomless. It is beyond your conception, this ocean. Don't think that if I don't take this boat, maybe I can swim myself to the shore. Bhavajaladi magadam dustaram. You cannot cross it. Nistareyam. You will not cross it. Okay? Then someone may think, katamahamiti cheto masmagakataratvam. One may become full depressed, thinking that it's impossible to cross, but how will I be saved? Simple. What is the fare for the boat? What is the cost? What is the ticket price? He says this in this verse also. Sarasija drishti deve. Sarasija. Sarasija means lotus. Sarasi means lake. What comes from a lake? Lotus. We are very fortunate. We have some lotuses, lilies in the morning. Right? Sarasi. A beautiful pond, a beautiful lake. Sarasija drishi. So, the Lord who has lotus-like eyes. Sarasija drishi deve taraki bhaktir eka. What is the fare for the boat? Devotion. So if one wants to cross the ocean of material existence, one has to offer that lotus-eyed Lord to Bhakti Devi. She is standing on the boat. She is taking the tickets. So if one offers Krishna to her, she becomes very pure. She becomes very pleased. Sorry. And she allows. Naraka bidhi nissanna tarayishyati avashyam. Certainly that she will allow you access on the boat and you can get crossed. So the only thing one has to do is please Bhakti Devi, please Vrinda Devi, please Tulasi Maharani, please Bhakti herself by offering Krishna to her. That means by being a devotee. And then the third verse in this list of three verses in Mukunda Mala Stotra which describe a similar precarious situation. The 13th verse, he says, Trishna toye madana pavano dhutamohor mimale. Urmimale, same thing. Daravarte tanaya sahaja graha sanga kulecha samsara ke mahati jaladau majjatam nastridhaman padamboje varada bhavato bhaktinavam prayacha. So therefore, the devotee now understands that to get onto the Vishnu poto, to get onto the boat of Vishnu, I need to offer the payment of Vishnu bhakti to Bhakti Devi. And she'll allow me in. Then now he starts thinking that, you know, is it really bad? Is it really, because paying that price might seem a lot. Is it really that bad? Can't I just stay in the ocean? Maybe another boat might come. Maybe some other salvation in me might come. So in this last verse, in this verse of this series, Kulashekar Maharaj says, no. Don't think twice. He says, Trishna toye. You are thirsty in this water. Because when you're stuck in the ocean, right? They say, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. So you have water everywhere and thirsty. And many people who are like, you know, shipwrecked, if you heard about it, they die out of thirst. People are like, hey, so much water is there, why don't you drink it? You can't drink salt water. So, Trishna Toye, water is everywhere, but you're dying out of thirst. Madana Pavano Dutta Mohor Mimale. And the winds of Cupid, that means desire, is hitting you left, right, center. Okay? And then one is stuck in the whirlpool of family affection, Dara, Tanaya, Sahaja, brothers. But they are all catching on to you, Graha, like sharks, pulling you down in this samsara. And a person is Majjatam, he's drowning. Therefore, only one person can save, that is the Bhakti Navam. Here he says, Padamboje Varada Bhavato Bhakti Navam Prayacha. One must pray that, my Lord, please, no, give me that boat of bhakti. He says like that. This is how a devotee should pray. Now, interestingly, after these three verses in Mukundamala Sutra, the next few verses, he speaks how the Lord is the real protector, how the ultimate protection is chanting the holy names. It was a very beautiful section. So, I just thought that, you know, how this episode of delusion, you know, stuck in this devastation of this drowning is very much similar to how we are also stuck in the samsara. Right? So, because 2 days ago when Harigopal was giving class, he was mentioning that while most other avatars we have so much to say, we don't have really much to say about Matsya avatar. It doesn't come so much, isn't it? We don't have much information, we don't know much about it. So I thought that we could draw some parallels. So that was the first point I wanted to make. Second point, now we will discuss about how Lord Matsya is the protector, as this verse says. So in the 24th chapter of the 8th canto, where this Matsya Avatar episode comes, the beginning verses, Parikshit Maharaj has a question to Sukadev Goswami. He asks, why has the Lord appeared in this painful species? Matsyam loka jugupsitam tamah prakriti durmarsham. It's a very ignorant species, fish species. At the same time, it is durmarsham. It's a very condemned species. Why? Because you look at the fish, eventually, if someone even catches a fish by the hand, holds the fish by the hand, it harms the fish. Okay, it hurts the fish. Is such a creature where it's so, you know, delicate, in the sense that it's very easily pained, hurt. And very rare that fishes live out their lifetime. They usually die by being eaten by some other fish. So it's a very horrible, precarious situation. Why would the Lord appear? So in that purport, Vishnu Chakrathakur says, oh, 8th canto has another pastime of Bali Maharaj. He said that the Lord appeared in another condemned species. He appeared as a beggar. Beggar is condemned, isn't it? No one wants to be a beggar. Unless you're a three-dandi bhikshu. Then you're a different kind of beggar. Begging people to take up to Krishna consciousness. But no one wants to be a beggar. So the Lord became a beggar to give mercy to Bali. He took a condemned form to give mercy to a devotee. So if again the Lord is taking another condemned form of Matsya, who is he trying to please? So that is the indirect question of Parikshit Maharaj. That he took another condemned form, which is so horrible or despicable. Who is that devotee that he wants to please? Who is that devotee that he wants to give joy to? Of course, we know that is Satyavrat, like I mentioned in the beginning, who became the current Manu of this age. So let's look at some facts about Matsya. I call it the Matsya facts, fish facts. Okay. So I heard yesterday from our Muralidhar Gopal bro, who's hearing online, that Matsya avatar appeared in Kartik month. Haribo, there's Kartik going on. So that's very interesting. Okay. And we have all heard about Matsya Puran, right? So Matsya Puran is a very important Purana to the Vaishnavas, especially us, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Although Matsya Puran comes under the Tamasic Puran category, it's because it has a lot of descriptions of Lord Shiva's pastimes and this and that. But it comes under the Tamasic Puran, but it's very significant to us because if you see the Acharya's books, they would always quote the authenticity of Bhagavadam from Matsya Puran, because Matsya Puran is the oldest of all Puranas. So if Matsya Puran says it, Matsya Puran has it, then it's bona fide. So what does Matsya Puran say about Bhagavadam? Matsya Puran says that there is a Purana called Bhagavadam in which there are many narrations and spiritual instructions. It begins with the Gayatri Mantra and it has the glorification of the history of Vritrasura. So that shows that, yes, this Bhagavatam that we are studying, right? It begins, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Dhimahi, it ends with the Gayatri. Right? And it has narrations of Vritrasur. So, from this, Acharyas quote this verse to say that how Matsya Puran is actually giving authority to Srimad Bhagavatam. So, for us, it's very interesting. What else? Let's see some Matsya facts. So, two things we shared. Matsya appeared in Kartik and Matsya Puran being very significant to it. Third thing, if we read a lot of Mahabharata or Ramayana or maybe even Krishna book, we'll see that when Balram, Krishna and Balram, they travel throughout India in different places, they come to different provinces. And one province, it's called Kuru Jungle. Another province is called this name, that name, across North India, somewhere these places. There is one province called Matsya. So I was thinking, you know, where is it? Because I read this in Mahabharata, and then Krishna book also we are reading, and Balram goes across different provinces, and he comes across the province of Matsya. So in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in one word-to-word translation, they give the name, they give the location of this Matsya province. It is Jaipur. Jaipur and Alwar. Okay, our Madhumadhav Prabhu is from Alwar, his family. So, Jaipur and Alwar, which is near to Vrindavan, between Rajasthan and Vrindavan, that area is called Matsya, Matsya province. Okay, then there is Matsya Tirtha, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he travelled. So, that is in southern India, in the Malabar, northern Kerala district, Matsya Tirtha. And we see also how this episode of Matsyavatar, saving or guiding Satyavrat, has a lot of parallels with the Abrahamic tradition, especially it is found in the Jewish tradition. It is first found in the Torah, and then a little differences of description which is found in the Holy Bible, and then later it's found a little more differences in the Quran. So they called him as Noah or Nuh, right? From us we say that he was Nau means boat. So they say Noah or Nuh. And they have a lot of, you can say, because I have not read Matsya Puran has the most details about this whole episode. Bhagavatam also doesn't give so much. Matsya Puran is the most detail. I have not read any translation of it. But if we've seen the Jewish version or the Bible, biblical version, or even the Quranic version, they give a lot of details into this. This comes in the first chapter of creation. I think creation. From the Old Testament. So they mentioned that how, you know, two of every species came in. There's a three-deck layer of the ark, that boat. And how they all lived for 1 year. People ask a question that everyone is in the boat for 1 year. Did not the population increase? So they've mentioned that they kept everyone separate. That's mentioned in all three books. Even in the Quran. They kept them separate for 1 year. Right? But all three of these Abrahamic traditions, they have three different understanding. The Jews, they'll say that currently the ark is stuck in one mountain, right? And the Muslims, they say that it's stuck in another mountain in Iraq. So they say like that. What is the Veda's version? So in Lagu Bhagavatamrita is a little technical. Brihat Bhagavatamrita is enjoying. It is story. Lagu, although it's Lagu, right? It should be the other way around. Brihat should be the heavy one. But Lagu Bhagavatamrita gives... It's very technical because it's all, you know, tattvas. Chapters after chapters of tattvas. Part 1, this tattva, that tattva, and this description. So much details. So in one description describing the Leela avatars, when they speak about Matsya avatar, there it is mentioned that this Matsya Dev, he had tied the boat to the peak of the Himalayas. And then he disappeared. Interesting, huh? So when I read that, I remembered, hey, the Quran and the Bible also mentions a similar thing. They'll give some name of the mountains, I don't remember. And in the early years, I remember, I think it's in the 1800s, so probably some archaeologists that actually tried to discover and say that, look, this is actually the site where Noah's Ark, okay, later it was dismissed. But anyway, it's mentioned like that he brought the boat with his horn and tied it at the pinnacle of the Himalayas, and then Matsya disappeared. It is not mentioned how long they stayed. It is just mentioned that the people in the boat remained until the water subsided and a period which is similar to Satya Yuga had begun. So how long, I'm not sure, in that boat. But at least the Sapta Rishis were there, these Rishis were there. And even in the Abrahamic version, they had the seven sages, the seven wise men. They were also on the boat. So a lot of parallels, you know, very similar. I remember reading some Srila Prabhupada conversations also, and I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj who was drawing parallels to, like, you know, this is very similar to their tradition of this Noah's Ark. So Matsya Avatar has always been very interesting in that respect. So speaking about Laghu Bhagavatam Mrit, there is one more interesting Matsya fact, okay, besides this parallel. They mention, they give a list of 25 Leela Avatars in Laghu Bhagavatam Mrit, 25 Leela Avatars. And after mentioning these 25 Leela Avatars, they call them that they are also known as Kalpa Avatars, because they appear every once in a day of Brahma. All this, avatars. Okay, the avatars we know, Kurma, Varaha and all. But they also mention that some of them have extra appearances. Like we know, Varaha Dev appeared twice. Right? And it is said that Matsya appears at the end of every Manvantara. That means Matsya appears 14 times. I was like, whoa. You know, so Varaha Dev appeared twice. Kalpa is a day of Brahma. Brahma has 1 month, 30 days. The names are given. So in 1 month of Brahma, right? Oh, sorry. In 14 times in one Kalpa, in one day, sorry. In one day of Brahma, right? Matsya Avatar appears 14 times because he appears at the every end of the Manvantara. So like that. I think the commentary was Baladev Vidyabhushan. He mentions that Kurma also appeared twice. Vamana appeared 3 times. So if you go to South India, the Divya Deshams, right? In the Divya Deshams, you will find of all the Divya Deshams, there are 3 Vamana temples in South India. One of it in Kerala. So there are 3 Vamana temples. They say that he appeared here. So we are like, you know. So here it's mentioned that Vamana had appeared 3 times in one Kalpa. And they say that Dhanvantri, we have in Ayurveda Center, he had appeared twice. Mohini had appeared twice. Right? And Buddha and Kalki appear in every Kali Yuga. He says like that. So, this is some descriptions. And then, in Laghu Bhagavatam also it's mentioned, the locations where these incarnations are staying. So, they may appear, they do the Leela, they save the devotees, and then they go to a particular place and they stay there for some time. Just like we know Vamana, he, after, you know, glorifying Bali Maharaj, he went and stayed in which loka? Sutala. Right. So similarly they mentioned that Shesha, after doing his pastime also, he went to Patala. And Lord Varaha, after doing his pastime, he went to Maharloka. And Matsya, after doing his pastime, he went into a lake which is 300 yojanas huge, which is in Rasatal. So that's how, you know, these acharyas, they mention like that. They are still around. So it's very amazing how the Lord's mercy is that, you know, he always appears again and again to save the Vedas, to save the devotees, and to save everyone. So, although we may not know so much about the details of Matsya Avatar, we don't see any Matsya, so much temples. I remember one temple in Kerala where it's known as a Matsya temple. People go to feed the fish, right, near the river. So, we don't know so much, but actually we can see that there's many details that are given about this incarnation of the Lord. And another point on this Matsya pastime is that many people, when they pray in Srimad Bhagavatam, they do take reference of Lord Matsyadev. Because just like Kurma and Varaha and Narasimha, Lord Matsya also came to save Vedic Shastras. At the same time, he came to save the devotees. If we look in that 8th canto, 24th chapter, there's a prayer which Satyavrat, Vaivastha Manu, prays to Matsya. And he glorifies him as the guru, the giver of knowledge, because he's giving the guide. Right? There's around 8 verses or something. Damodarpo likes to call it as Guru Ashtakam. Right? Because it's an Ashtakam of 8 verses glorifying him as the guru. So in many places, the demigods also in Bhagavatam, especially when Krishna was about to appear in the Garbhastuti, the demigods will take reference of Matsya. They will say that, oh, just like Matsya had saved, you know, the whole existence, you please save us. Akrura, when he met the Lord also, he also started to reference and pray to the Lord, right, taking the name of Matsya. But one significant section comes in in Srimad Bhagavatam, where parallels are drawn with how Matsya saving and how the devotees wants to be saved. So this is the section of Vritrasur in 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, where the demigods are now going to the Lord and they are praying to the Lord, "My Lord, please come, appear, save us, because we do not know what's happening. This demon is there, Vritrasur. What should we do?" Okay, so they start praying. They say, "The Manu named King Satyavrat formally saved himself by tying the small boat of the entire world to the horn of Matsyavatar, the fish incarnation. By the grace of Matsyavatar, Manu saved himself from great danger of the flood. May that same fish incarnation save us from the great and fearful danger caused by the son of Tvashta." The Tvashta is the father of Vritrasur, who created Vritrasur. So here the demigods are drawing parallels. They were saying that just how the Lord, you had come, you had guided and you had saved. Please, right now, they were stuck in an ocean of inundation. But right now, we are stuck in an ocean of delusion. We are confused. What to do? Because all around darkness is there. So you please come and guide us and save us. You come again as that fish incarnation. Then they continue to pray. "Just as Matsya saved the earth, he will also save us from the demon. Because though he moves about in the water and is situated there, he still can protect us who are on land, because he is the God." So someone may say that your prayer is not valid. That was in an ocean. Matsya is a fish and he can move through the ocean. If you are drowning, you pray for Matsya. If you are in the land, why should you pray to Matsya? So then the demigods continue to pray that no. If the Lord can save someone on the water, he can save someone on land also. No problem. So I want to pray to Matsya because he is guiding and he is pulling us out of the difficulty. So they continue to pray like that. Then they make another prayer. They say, "The great waves was made such a horrible sound. The great waves made such a horrible sound that Lord Brahma himself almost fall from his seat on the lotus into the water of devastation." So the waves of the water is so deadly that the sound made Brahma also unstable, and Brahma almost fall from his lotus. Can I imagine they're saying like this? All the devatas are working under Brahma. They're saying, "You're making our boss lose their seat." So, but he was saved with the help of the Lord. Therefore, we also expect the Lord to protect us from this dangerous condition. So they pray like this. Ultimately, they had a different motive inside. They were demigods. They were saying that, you know, you saved Brahma from his seat. He did not fall into the ocean. Right now, our seat, being demigods, are also threatened. That please save us also, that we don't fall from our position. Right? So, like this, we see how, you know, they draw parallels to Matsyavatar. Therefore, this Matsyavatar is very glorious, very wonderful. And although, yes, many times we, you know, he may not be the first choice for us to pray to because of lack of knowledge. But we do see, or maybe lack of relevance, because we don't imagine a fish saving, isn't it? Fish is a species which gets caught, which gets stuck themselves. They are not someone to save someone else. If you think about Kurma, their stability. If you think about Varaha, they're quite a vigorous and powerful creature themselves, right? Anyone has been chased by a wild boar, you'll understand. Right? But a fish. So one cannot think like that. But Matsya does the pastime of saving the Vedas, speaking the Vedas, guiding and removing from this ocean. So therefore, if we think about it, prayer to Matsyavatar can be done when we draw parallel with our own life. Like the beginning, we discussed how we are all stuck in this material ocean. So therefore, like this purport, Prabhupada writes, "Envious people cannot appreciate how the Lord is creating, maintaining, and annihilating." So we all aspire to be non-envious by chanting Hare Krishna and practicing bhakti. And the most important thing is that we should try to see how the Lord's hand is there behind everything. To the degree that we can actually see and appreciate how the Lord has his hand in creating, maintaining, annihilating, and more importantly, how the Lord is very much relatable in my life. To that degree, we can actually take shelter of the Lord. So this is not just a pastime to just go by, but we can, you know, draw parallels with our own life and try to take inspiration from it. So I'll just sum up what we saw. So in the beginning, we discuss about this verse we first discuss about the background of this verse, where we have seen so far up to the five varshas of prayers, who the great personality praying to which Lord, and then we discuss how this is Vaivashta Manu. He was actually the last Manu, Manvantara. He was Satyavrat Raja, who later became the son of Vivaswan, sun god, and is called Vaivasvata. We also saw how these three verses, which is glorifying Matsya in this fifth canto, 18 chapter, text 26, text 27, text 28, speak about how the Lord is the supreme controller, supreme maintainer, and supreme protector. That is the background that we discussed in the beginning. Then we discussed two points in this verse. The first is about the devastating waves of this ocean, which is called Urmi Malini. So in that we discuss from Mukunda Mala Stotra, how Kulashekar Alwar in texts 11, 12 and 13 describe very graphically why this material world is compared to an ocean. So we discuss how the waves take you up and down. And in material life also, we are always looking for that up waves, being happy. But at the same time, when you go up, you come down also. Right? And we saw also how people like, although it's a very precarious and dangerous situation in the ocean, people love it. They love to take an adventure, although many people die in such spots. Kulashekar Maharaj says that, you know, there's only one salvation, which is the boat of Vishnu. Vishnu Poto Naranam, from being slapped and thrown. And then he discussed, what is the ticket price? Or who will give you entrance into this boat? He says that Bhakti Devi. If you give or you pay devotion onto Vishnu, Sarisi Deve, Sarisija Deve, Sarisida, Sarisija Drishi Deve, that Lord with lotus eyes, if you give that to Bhakti Devi, she will let you on the boat. Okay, she's standing on the boat. So we saw that the next, in the 12th verse, right, he says like that. And then 13th verse, he says that if the mind is thinking that no, maybe there'll be some other boat, maybe somebody else will save me, some other, he said no such thing. You are dying, you will die out of thirst. Trishna Toye. So we saw also how that many people who are shipwrecked, they may survive being drowning, but they'll die out of thirst. Because all salty water, what you'll drink? Right? So many people suffer like that. And he says, don't wait for anyone. Padamboje varado bhavato bhakti navam prayaccha. One must only try to get that bhakti navam, that boat, and come out of this material world. So like this, we draw parallels. And then the second point of this verse, we discuss about Matsya Avatar himself. We saw how the Lord, why did he take a form of a condemned species? To give pleasure to devotee, which is Satyavrat. Okay? And then we saw some Matsya facts, fishy facts. Right? Matsya Avatar appeared in Kartik, one of the oldest Purana, the province of Matsya Desha, the place called Matsya Tirtha. We saw how the 25... Leela avatars in Laghu Bhagavatamrita are mentioned as Kalpa avatars, from which we learn that Matsya appears 14 times in one day of Brahma. Every end of every Manvantara, Matsya Dev comes. Okay, he's the avatar with the highest appearance, most appearance, most cameo roles. Right? And then we saw also from Laghu Bhagavatamrita how Matsya, all the avatars have a place of residence between their pastimes. And Matsya is staying in a lake which is 300 yojanas large in Rasatal. And then we also saw how different personalities are praying and drawing parallels to their life. We saw specifically the demigods praying to the Lord from the pastime of Vritrasur, where he will say that, my Lord, just like you had saved Satyavrat before, please also save us from this great and fearful danger. And please give us protection, although you are a water species, but you can also protect us on land. Therefore, we also can pray. We are not, may not be in water, but we can also pray. And especially they say that you please, just like you had protected, the waters are so dangerous that Brahma was going to fall. You protected Brahma's seat. So please protect our seat also, our position, our condition. So, like that we saw. And one more detail we saw was that how when we draw parallel to the Abrahamic scriptures about Noah's ark, we also saw that in our scripture also it's mentioned how Matsya had tied the boat to the tip of the Himalayas. So with like that, I like to end the class today. Thank you all very much for your kind and patient listening. If there's any questions or comments, I'll be very grateful. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्णा।